now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, 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 it is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Please excuse the technical difficulties. Had no idea what happened there, but thank you all for sitting tight and being here for the episode here. Of course, it's, we're going to compact as much as we can about this week. Of course, we got some trivia. Fill up the chat room with your thoughts and your trivia. And thanks so much for sitting tight with this. Of course, we're going to do some Raw, some SmackDown, some Impact Wrestling, ROH. And we also are going to do our trivia. First trivia question to start off for the evening is, what show did Shawn Michaels turn on Marty Jannetty? Once again, what show did Shawn Michaels turn on Marty Jannetty? So go ahead and start that off answering that. And let's go with this week's news. Unfortunately, sad to say that former wrestler Mike Graham from the legendary Graham family, son of Eddie Graham, he passed away. They're still not 100% sure what the diagnosis is, but I mean what the cause of death is, but it's reported suicide as of now. Police is not doing much or not making an effort to basically, you know, tell the reason. So we'll see later. We will see later exactly what it was, but it's unfortunate. He was 61 years old, and you know, suicide is definitely a really, really, really bad thing, and it's unfortunate to see, you know, him go like that. If it is true, and we definitely are sending our thoughts and prayers for his family. Rock challenges Undertaker WrestleMania 29. There's an article on WWE.com, basically letting people know that if he's not in the title hunt come WrestleMania, that the Undertaker will be his the person of interest for him. So we shall see if The Rock and Undertaker for the very first time is one of the headlining WrestleMania matches. I would absolutely love Rock and Taker at Mania. And never, it was one of them matches that slipped through the cracks, and it would definitely be good to see Rock and Taker at WrestleMania. I would prefer Rock Taker over Rock and Brock any day. Taker and Cena would be good. I mean, I would prefer Rock and Taker over Taker and Brock, or Rock and Brock, or Taker and Cena. So out of all of those options, although Taker and Cena would be a very, very close second or almost equal to just because of Cena's, you know, Cena and Taker would be a good match at WrestleMania. But Rock and Taker has yet to fall, you know, like I said, it did fall through the cracks, so we'll see. Taker went against Triple H and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, so Rock would only be suitable. And then finally, Chris Jericho praises Ryback in a recent interview with Busted Open. And he feels that Ryback should win at Hell in a Cell. So we'll go further into that when we get to Hell in a Cell. So I wrote an article on Bleacher Report about it. And, you know, he compares him a lot to Bill Goldberg and how he should be the next guy and, you know, how the WWE should give him that push. Hey, I'm not opposed to his viewpoint. I definitely think that it's going to make it makes sense, and we'll go and basically his justification of why that should happen makes a lot of sense. So we're going to Raw. Like I said, we're going to compact as much as we can to this episode. Thank you so much for sitting tight with us. And like I said, the first trivia question was, what show did Shawn Michaels turn on Marty Jannetty? We have trivia questions here all the time, just throughout the show. And be sure to tweet your answers as well. Or if you want to be bold enough to call them in. The number is 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. Let's go on to Raw. Team Road Scholars defeats Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara to become the finalists of the WWE Tag Team Title Tournament. Going again, I mean, it basically made sense. I knew that they were going to win. I like Mysterio and Sin Cara, but just them against against. Kane and Daniel Bryan, not quite. So I can see Kane and Daniel Bryan, going against Team Road Scholars just because they kind of had – that was kind of one of their first big feuds, and it just makes sense for them to win the tournament. So nothing big there. Team Hell No cuts promo on Titantron after the match, which is pretty cool just to see this feud just continue to build. Kofi Kingston defeats Michael McGillicuddy. I'll tell you what, just the Michael McGillicuddy name just holds back Joe Hennig so much. But I like Michael McGillicuddy. I like him as a wrestler. He's real rugged. There's not many rugged wrestlers. I think that he would be a heck of a heel if they really pushed him the way that he's a really snappy wrestler. Like his wrestling style is real heelish, rugged, and snappy. I like it a lot. It can be used, to be a mid card or upper mid card heel. And his attitude is very apropos of his wrestling style. So I definitely think that it'd be good if they used him more than just a jobber. Plus he's comes from the legendary Hennig name. So it would be a good idea. Barbershop is indeed the right answer for that, and it seemed like that was that difficult. Next question is, what was Brutus Beefcake's name when he was in the Dungeon of Doom? What was Brutus Beefcake's name when he was in the Dungeon of Doom? And if you want to one-up me, you can let me know what his name was when he was in the NWO. So initially the Dungeon of Doom, and then if you want to one-up me, NWO. John Cena cuts a promo interrupted by CM Punk. And Justin Gabriel defeats Antonio Cesaro. I think this is an excellent move by the WWE to have Justin Gabriel win a U.S. title match. The match that they had before was pretty good. I think I made reference of it before of how Justin Gabriel could be pushed as one of those mid-card titles. He definitely seems like a U.S. or Intercontinental title type of guy to me, and I think that would be a good idea for him to feud with Antonio Cesaro. To me, this has pre-show, Hell in a Cell pre-show written all over it, but I prefer for it to be on the main screen, but as long as Justin Gabriel gets some type of love, I'm cool with it. I think the last title match that he had was a U.S. title match at last year's Elimination Chamber, just a random impromptu match. This year's Elimination Chamber, so February, against Jack Swagger, when Jack Swagger was Intercontinental Champion. So, once again, the The question was, what was Brutus Beefcake's name when he was in the Dungeon of Doom? If you want to one-up me, what was his name when he was in the NWO? And he looked almost completely different when he was in the NWO. So that was super cool. His look when he went in the NWO, it was so much different. But I liked it. Then we have Vince and AJ arrive in limo. Vince and AJ in ring. And AJ resigns as GM. Very, very good move. I think it was long overdue. Interrupted by Paul Heyman, which gives McMahon a pitch to become GM. He always he proposes it to Vince McMahon, but he was denied. And then Vince names Vicky Guerrero as the managing supervisor. Now, I don't know what I think about Vicky Guerrero as some type of authoritative role. Kind of tired of it. You know, SmackDown tenure was good, but I'm not really interested. So, So Ryback defeats Miz. Zodiac is indeed the right answer. Ryback defeats Miz. Did we think otherwise? It was pretty evident that Miz was going to job. Looks like he's back to his job and ways. I'll let you know how I feel about his chances at Hell in a Cell come Sunday. Eve, Caitlin, Layla, and backstage segment more on the whole, who Nancy Kerrigan to me. I guess it gives some type of something to the women's division, which I guess is better than nothing. Sheamus locker room interview interrupted by Big Show. Then we see Dolph Ziggler defeat Daniel Bryan. After Kane and Daniel Bryan argue, Matt Stryker comes out and says that they have to participate in the game show, which was weird. Road Scholars doesn't. They came out and they made a they did a promo about it, but they really didn't even participate. So a bit weird to me, but oh well. After Kane and Daniel Bryan, after they did all that, and Big Show comes out, Matt Stryker pulled a little heel comment saying that he wasn't going to support him, so I wonder if that's going to go further. Disciple is indeed the right answer. Next question is, who was under the Golga mask? Who was under the Golga mask? And what group was Golga in? So then we had a distraction and post match attack by Team Road Scholars. Then we had a John Cena and AJ backstage segment, and Cena ended up being the one that who she was accused with fraternizing. Let's see how far this goes. I guess they wanted Cena to be a part of something. Cena confronts McMahon in the back. McMahon just kind of, tiptoes around it, and we'll see how that goes. We're going to bring in our Raw correspondent in here in a moment. Alberto Del Rio defeats Dolph Ziggler. Pretty self-explanatory. Unfortunately, Zack Ryder is just really getting the short end of the stick these days. Unfortunately, just really, really getting, just being on the proverbial job squad. John Cena confronts Vicky Guerrero backstage, and Vicky Guerrero tells him that, he calls AJ his job, and he just walks out, which is interesting. Josh Matthews interviews Dolph Ziggler. I'm intrigued to see if he upholds to his promise to cash in the Money in the Bank to no matter who. It takes away the predictability factor for cashing the Money in the Bank, but I guess it does kind of raise some prominence back into it, because it's been kind of under the rug a little bit, which is good, because it brings the shock value out more. But we'll see if he opposes to that. And then lastly, the main event was CM Punk defeating Sheamus. due to and was coined the largest lumberjack match in Raw history. CM Punk ended up defeating Sheamus because he was chokeslammed by Big Show, and then Ryback comes out and post-match and beats up on CM Punk. Decent Raw overall. Don't know if it was a good go-home show to Hell in a Cell. Reportedly there's only going to be one Hell in a Cell match, so they seem like they really need to pull out the stops. But a little gimmicky for the Lumberjack match, but we shall see how this leads into Hell in a Cell. So, Raw correspondent Derek, what you got, sir?
I've got the same stuff I usually do. I kind of disagree. I thought Raw was very disappointing last night. It was Vicky Guerrero becoming the new GM or the intern. Whatever she is, she's annoying. I can't stand her. Now that she's on Raw and I have to watch Raw, what's Vince McMahon trying to do? And Paul E. Dangerously, or Paul E., whatever you want to call him, he's ECW failed. He was in charge of ECW. I'm not that impressed by him. It's kind of, and I've told you many times how much I dislike CM Punk. His gimmick is old. I'm the best in the world. I'm the best champion, blah, blah, blah. That's been done since the 70s. It's time to think of something else. The Big Show, I've got so much respect for him, but he's kind of taken a side seat on Raw. That's too bad. But right back, he's got nothing but the future in front of him. He's kind of like a Goldberg, but I don't want to complain. I don't want to compare him to Goldberg. But he's got a big future in front of him. Otherwise, Raw was Raw. That's the way it is. Vicky Guerrero really disappointed me showing up last night. I think that's a step back. And CM Punk is still boring. Paul Heyman still doesn't add anything to Monday Night Raw. What do you think?
Awesome. Weekly Raw correspondent notes from Raw. I love to hear Derek give us his viewpoints on Raw. He's a great addition to the Crave wrestling staff. We get our weekly CM Punk bashing, which is very fun to hear every week. Although I like Punk. I do agree that his character is getting stale, but overall I like Punk, but I am starting to dislike him as the squealy, slimy, cowardly heel. I think his gimmick should be a lot better than that, but he's right though. Ryback should definitely, be the next guy. And like I said before, I wrote an article on Bleacher Report about what Chris Jericho said about him. Chris Jericho's all in favor for him, and I agree. He has nothing but the future ahead of him, in front of him, and I agree with that. That's a very good way to say it. And I really hope that they do something with him. I really don't hope they don't miss the mark with Ryback, because John Cena, he's been around for so long, and it's about time to, pass the baton or at least share the spotlight. So we'll see what they do with Ryback, especially on Sunday. Sunday's the big day for him. So he was in the Oddities, but who was under the mask? Who was under the Goga mask? That is yet to be answered. The Oddities answer was said in the chat room. No correct tweets about it. Tweet at Crave Wrestling with your answer, but no no correct tweets. A comment in the chat room saying that Jericho should be a talent scout. That would be a good backstage role for Jericho. I definitely would rather see him on air, but to be a talent, be involved in talent relations. I think Jericho, because he has such knowledge of the business, that would be a very good idea. Good comment in the chat room. On the SmackDown, Miz TV with Team Hell No. Big Show comes out and talks to Daniel Bryan. Dolph Ziggler interrupts and cuts a promo. Booker T comes out and books Team Hell No to a match against Show and Ziggler. And then books Miz versus Orton. John Tenta, indeed, is the right answer. Earthquake, John Tenta, you name it. Next question is, what was the Ultimate Warrior's name in WCCW? All right, I'm back on the SmackDown here. Orton defeats Ziggler. Team Road Scholars defeats Kid and Gabriel. Team Hell No defeats Show and Ziggler. Post-match attack by Team Road Scholars. Really seems like they were just pumping up the Road Scholars to be bait for Kane and Daniel Bryan. So they're really getting the upper hand a little bit too much for me. Antonio Cesaro defeats Ted DiBiase. It's really sad because, you know, I wrote an article about it before. I like Ted DiBiase. I think he has a very, very, very promising future. And I don't know what it is, but everybody who comes from a lineage of another wrestler is not doing well other than Randy Orton. You got DiBiase, who's a jobber. You've got the Usos, who are jobbing. And you have Michael McGillicuddy, who's jobbing. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. Heath Slater defeats Brodus Clay. Poor Brodus Clay these days. He's about to become an honorary member of the Job Squad as well. Wade Barrett backstage interview. Layla defeats Natalya. Tay Long shows Caitlin Eve's iPad, and then Caitlin takes pictures more on the saga about who clipped my knee or whatever was done with that part there. Sheamus defeats Wade Barrett in a lumberjack match. Clean, Wade Barrett, to have consecutive lumberjack matches is a bit weird to me, but Ziggler zigzags Sheamus post-match, about to cash it in, but Big Show WMDs him. Nice little spin, to SmackDown. Nice little potential cash in. I like the idea, but Barrett losing. I'm not a big fan of that. I like the series of matches that they had, and two of them were disqualification. But I don't understand why they had to have a third match. I don't think that was a good idea. Dingo Warrior is indeed the correct answer. Next question is, who was the first ECW champion? Not the Eastern Championship Wrestling version of ECW, but the Extreme Championship Wrestling version of ECW. Who was the first ECW champion? Let's go on to Impact Wrestling. On to Impact Wrestling here. Shane Douglas is indeed the right answer. It looks like I need to be asking a little bit more harder questions here. Who did Randy Orton defeat in his debut match? Who did Randy Orton defeat in his debut match? Back in 2002. On to Impact Wrestling. Aces and Nates comes out, introduces D-Von, who cuts a promo. Really trying to heal it up. I'm not too convinced, but I don't know. Give us more reveals for the Aces and Eights. Sting, TNA wrestlers, and Hogan comes out and beats up on Aces and Eights. Hogan cuts a promo, and Sting challenges D-Von. Hogan, Anderson, and Joseph Park in the office. Samoa Joe defeats Robbie E. Tara and Jesse backstage segment. ODB defeats Tara. Chavo and Hernandez defeats Kid Cash and Gunner. I like the team of Kid Cash and Gunner. They're a good heel tag team. They should be pushed in my opinion, but I can understand why they're like fourth in the totem pole now. Because the three teams that competed at Bound for Glory are Yeah, or the ones. So we shall see whether Kid and Gunner actually has a shot to be someone, down the line. Yes, great job, chat room. Holly, indeed, Bob Holly. Next question is, what other show did Rico compete on before he was a wrestler? What other show did Rico compete on before he was a wrestler? On to Impact Wrestling here. Jeff Hardy celebration interrupted by Austin Aries. Just the heel Austin Aries is just really, we've seen it before. He was a heel. He's way more over as a face, and just making him heel is just, I think, I honestly believe he's going to be buried. I'm not a big fan of it at all. So, unfortunately, we shall see what they do. Excuse me, what they do with him. But I don't think it's a good idea to make him heel because it gets boring, and he's been like that for a while. It was something new and innovative when he was a babyface, and I think they really should to do that. Rico, the manager of 3 Minute Warning. Who did he compete? Other show did Rico compete on before he was a wrestler? Popular show in the early 90s. All right, then we have Kurt Angle defeating Daniels and AJ Styles. Great match between the three of them. Joey Ryan, Matt Morgan, and Hulk Hogan backstage segment. Morgan's healing it up. Not bad for Matt Morgan. He kind of getting a bit stale as a face. I wanted them to push him as a face, but they weren't doing the correct type of pushing. So, hopefully he gets some love as a heel. James Storm in-ring promo interrupted by Bobby Roode. It seems like they would have culminated the feud by then, by Sunday after that brutal match, but we'll see if they continue it. I definitely hope they shouldn't, but we'll see if they go their separate ways. And then Sting defeats Devon by DQ. Ace and Zenates come out and attack Sting. TNA roster comes out to fight. Bully Ray eventually comes out with the bat and chases them away. I don't know, maybe that's, since Bully Ray comes out with the bat, maybe that's kind of saying, maybe that's a telltale sign that he may be involved with facing his innates, so we shall see. We may see a reformation of the Dudleys, or according to TNA, since, for legal purposes, they are Team 3D. So, indeed. All right. Well, we will definitely go on to ROH. No answer for Rico. Looks like I stumped some people. The answer is the American Gladiators. He was a part of the American Gladiators. Who was the first NWA TNA World Heavyweight Champion? Won it in the Battle Royal. Give you a hint on that. He was also a former Intercontinental Champion, former Tag Team Champion with the Big Boss Man. I may have gave it away. And he was a... If I do the other hint, it would definitely be a giveaway. On to Ring of Honor. Just some... qualifier matches from Survivor of the Fittest. The first one was Roger Stone defeating Homicide. A good match between the two. Then the next match was Kyle O'Reilly against Mike Mondo. Definitely a good match involving with. David Richards was involved, so O'Reilly it was definitely a slugfest. Mike Mondo's definitely made a come up from his old Spirit Squad days. Mondo was putting the cross arm bar, brutal. Then the last match was just a brutal bout between Michael Elgin and Rhino, which caused more, you know, dissension within Truth Martini's group. It's been a lot of dissension between Roderick Strong and Michael Elgin. Looks more and more like an Elgin. An Elgin face turn. Elgin wins to advance. So, you know, normal ROH, good, normal ROH competition. Like I said, like I do all, like I say all the time. You know, we need some good. Some good competition, some good television time. They would have more of a chance if they had better TV, but unfortunately they don't. So that's that. So we were going to the Hell in a Cell predictions. No correct answer yet. We got a Jeff Jarrett answer, but that's not correct so far. Got some wrong answers as well. No tweeted right answers. Real quick, Hell in a Cell predictions. We have Miz and Kofi Kingston for the Intercontinental Championship. Kofi's on his push. Unfortunately, just another loss by Miz, though. That's a tough one. Sheamus and Big Show for the World Heavyweight Championship. I don't see Sheamus. I don't see it going off Sheamus at all. I think, with the exception of the main event, which is still kind of predictable, but I think that this Hell in a Cell pay per view is a little bit too predictable for me. I think Kane and Daniel Bryan will beat Team Road Scholars as well. I also think Randy Orton's going to beat Alberto Del Rio. It's been a good build with them too, though. I will give them that. A lot of more heel side for Alberto Del Rio. A lot more aggressive, and I like the aggressive the new aggression of Alberto Del Rio. It's a good way to kind of revive his character. And then CM Punk versus Ryback. Oh, here we go. Here is the big. Prediction here. My prediction this Sunday, there will be some type of involvement. There will be something going. Maybe John Cena may cause Ryback to lose, but not intentionally. There's some rumblings that Brock Lesnar may be involved, but the problem is from reports is that WWE, you know, that wasn't one of his design dates, so it might be dishing out a little bit more money. You know, I would like a Ryback and Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania. I would definitely be a big fan of that. Or at least at Royal Rumble, you know, that would be good. Or maybe Survivor Series. I kind of still want Ryback to win the Royal Rumble. So, but like I said, Ryback and Brock Lesnar, either Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania would be a good pay-per-view. So I think Ryback will get a win somehow, but it's hard for me to believe. I want Ryback to win. Like I said, being a short-term world champion actually wouldn't be a bad thing in my eyes. I think CM Punk will slither out again with the title. So if anything, it'll be a setup for you know, him having it for a year. Can he keep it past a year? Come Survivor Series, and I think that we'll see Cena and Punk at Survivor Series, and Cena will probably win that match. So, and maybe lose the next month or close to Royal Rumble, because I got a feeling that we'll see Punk and Rock. Yeah, so Fight of the Week real quick, I'll give you a little bit of what the topic is. I'll finish the rest of it in an article from Bleacher Report. No selling matches. Not yet a right answer for the question. The first NWA TNA World Champion was World Heavyweight Champion was Ken Shamrock. What month did Aces and Eights debut? All right, a couple of no-selling matches. Like I said last week, no-selling matches means that matches that was very sloppy, that the cues were wrong, and people just decided not to sell the other person's move, which is, you know, ring chemistry and two people, you know, going off each other, knowing how to sell the right moves and make it believable, you know, that the move is being executed is one of the biggest things of effective wrestling execution. So there's some matches that people just didn't care. So I'll do about three. I've got a bunch, but I'll do about three. Start off with Bruiser Brody versus Lex Luger back in the day. Bruiser Brody was known to be a pretty stiff neck wrestler. He had a good size to him, and there was a cage match that he competed against Lex Luger, and just halfway through the match, he just started to no-sell just about everything that Lex Luger was doing. I would definitely recommend you YouTube that match. It just gets really funny after a while. He just really, really no-selled everything Luger was doing. Halfway through the match, and Luger, he was just dumbfounded. Yeah, YouTube, Bruiser Brody versus Lex Luger, you'll be laughing halfway through the match. Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, 2004, WrestleMania. Austin was a referee. That was one of the most sloppiest matches. And the build, I mean, it was Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg on paper. I mean, that's like a dream match, not from a technicality standpoint, but it's really a dream match, you know. Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, wow, but the match did not deliver. It was horrible. And then Triple H versus Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior did some bad job selling on that one. That was horrible. Undertaker and Kane versus Chronic. I think that was one of Chronic's. That was Chronic's big stage to make a name for themselves in the WWE, because they were a great team in WCW. I liked the look. Brian Adams and Brian Clark. They both had a lot of similarities in size and build, and wrestling style. Very rugged. I really liked the group in WCW, but for some reason they decided to make them heels in the WWE, and they went against Undertaker and Kane, and there was just so many miscues. It was just an awful match. Undertaker was definitely showed his frustration in the match. YouTube that match too. You'll be shaking your head. And then finally, actually, two more. We'll do two more. We're having a little bit of fun with this. No correct answer yet. Real quick, that was June. Last question for the night was, what contest did Butterbean win in the WWE? That's the last question that I'll say. What contest did Butterbean win in the WWE? And then, CM Punk versus Elijah Burke. There was an ECW match. Punk actually said that Elijah Burke was one of his worst competitors. And that's interesting that he would say Elijah Burke. I don't think Elijah Burke's a bad wrestler, but CM Punk thinks otherwise. So that was a very interesting match that his reference match was it was a pretty bad match. The cues were pretty bad. And then finally, a match on Nitro between, I believe it was Nitro. I know it was definitely the WCW. It was Goldberg versus William Regal. Goldberg tried to kind of squash Regal, but Regal wasn't having it. He was, you know, he did his European style shoot fighting style. He had some stiff uppercuts against Goldberg, and he wasn't really, you know, maneuvering the way that Goldberg wanted to. And it seemed like there was a potential real fight going on after a while. I mean, of course, they played it okay. Eventually, Regal did sell, you know, the Goldberg spear and jackhammer, but you can tell that Regal was like, hey, you know, I'm not one of these little jokers that, you know, you're just going to push around, so I'm legit. And so, you know, YouTube that match too, Goldberg versus, he'll be Lord Steven Regal in the WCW. So, yes, we had a compacted episode today. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but thank you so much for everybody who stuck with me and all the tweets and the trivia. Same time next week, we'll be here at 11 o'clock. No technical difficulties. I had no idea that was going to happen. Definitely had some glitches in the system through Blog Talk, looks like. I'm not sure, but follow me at Crave Wrestling. Follow us at Crave Wrestling, actually. But I'm Chris Featherstone. I'm the founder of Crave Wrestling, and thanks so much for supporting me. I checked out the listeners for last week's show, and actually last week had the all-time highest number for listeners. So humbling. My words can't express my appreciation of that. So it was a very high number, and I was very grateful and thankful. So, you know, keep it going. Keep it growing. Follow at Crave Wrestling, like on Facebook. If you have any Flavor of the Week ideas, any trivia questions for you that you want me to say, email them at cravewrestling@gmail.com. Also have a PayPal if you want to give financially. And then lastly, follow me on Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone. I just wrote an article today about Chris Jericho's praising Ryback. And, of course, Hell in a Cell articles will be up. My views on Hell in a Cell, pre and post pay-per-view. Spread the word about Crave Wrestling. Let everybody know this is the show of Tuesday late night. So we will be here, and thanks to my Raw correspondent, Derek, giving us his great opinion on Raw every week. And kudos to Eric Cross from Warm Out Entertainment, the person who came up with the Pancakes and Power Slams theme song. Check him out on iTunes. He has great music. Eric Cross, E-R-I-C-C-R-O-S-S, Eric Cross, came up with the Pancakes and Power Slam theme song. So thanks a lot for all the Crave Wrestling staff. Thanks so much for all the support. Keep it going. Keep it growing. And until next week, have a great week. Enjoy your week of wrestling. Enjoy Hell in a Cell. We'll definitely keep your thoughts on deck for next week. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of call-ins or a lot of tweets or a lot of chats. Either way, either form is good. Talking about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, especially if Ryback wins. So we shall see what comes on with that. So thank you so much for supporting Pancakes and Power Slams. Words can't express my gratitude and my appreciation. Check me out on Facebook. Check me out on Twitter, Chris Featherstone on Bleacher Report. Check out my articles. And until next week, have a great week. Enjoy your pay-per-view. Enjoy your week of wrestling. And God bless. Goodbye.